So now we move on to resolutions. And Jeff, you're up.
Okay, Steve. Thanks
So
for
we do
the
have.
And Mr. President, this is Gabe. I am here as well.
Okay, great. So we do have the recorded resolutions, Jeff. Yes,
Okay,
I will go
yes.
ahead and pass this to you, and I will have you handle the resolutions here.
Okay, so let's have the recording of 2025-1.
Resolution 2025-1, upholding blind services and competitive employment at the California Department of Rehabilitation, submitted by Patricia Leitz and Frank Welty. Whereas SB 105 was implemented in 2003 to establish a specialized services division at the Department of Rehabilitation, DOR, with this division to include programs that serve people who are blind or have low vision. And whereas the intent underlying Senate Bill 105 was to improve upon competitive employment outcomes for people who are blind or have low vision. And whereas SB 105 states, the department needs to implement policy and procedural changes in order to improve its ability to increase the numbers of blind and visually impaired consumers placed in competitive employment. And whereas on November 14, 2024, it was stated at a meeting of the Blind Advisory Committee, BAC, that the data for annual competitive employment outcomes for DOR consumers on the blind caseload has essentially remained the same over time, 300 to 400 per year. And whereas competitive employment outcomes at the DOR are negatively affected by a myriad of related challenges, including but not limited to: the database is not readily accessible and is tedious for blind, deaf-blind, and low-vision users. The current procurement process is inefficient and cumbersome, which prevents consumers from receiving their technology to go to school and work in a timely manner. DOR is currently inadequately staffed to directly serve consumers who are blind, low-vision, or deaf-blind, since it takes at least twice as long to serve such consumer as verified by vocational counselors who have served both caseloads. And whereas at that November 14, 2024 meeting, it was announced that generalist cases are being merged with the blind caseload, a decision that will further adversely impact the department's ability to improve competitive employment outcomes for DOR consumers who are blind, deaf-blind, or have low vision. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled virtually this fourth day of May, 2025, that this organization calls upon the DOR to uphold the letter and spirit of the law by addressing and resolving the issues that hinder increasing competitive employment outcomes for people who are blind, deaf-blind, or have low vision, including removing generalist cases from the caseloads of vocational counselors for the blind, and be it further resolved that DOR develop in an expeditious manner a plan to address the concerns set forth in this resolution and provide a copy of this plan to this organization, and be it further resolved that this resolution be sent to the Director of the Department of Rehabilitation, as well as to the Blind Advisory Committee for purposes of oversight. End of resolution.
The committee moves a do pass. Is there anyone, is there anyone in opposition to the resolution?
Well, unfortunately, Jeff, you had four hands raised before you asked that question.
Okay. All
So,
right. So ask anybody with
yeah,
hands raised.
I think we need to call for any discussion before we go to voting.
Have a discussion.
Yeah, I suppose we need to. We've been sort of loosey-goosey with that, but yeah, we should have debate. Can you find out, Sheila, who the hands are for and against? We have to go one for and one against.
All right,
Once we start
Lisa.
debate, I'll start timing.
Lisa, are you for or against? Lisa Cushman. All right, Mitch.
Okay.
I have an amendment to this resolution.
Okay, would you let's take you now, since it then we can dispense with your amendment before we have any more discussion.
For those of you who are fairly new to CCB, you've probably figured out by now that I don't mince words, and I think this resolution isn't strong enough. I believe we need a resolve clause that states that the proposed merging of generalist with blind cases is a direct violation of SB 105.
Mitch, can that be a whereas clause? As opposed,
that's fine because
of the way
you
said it.
Yeah, well, and that's fine, but my language, it is, you know, violating the letter and spirit of law. I dropped out of law school, so I don't talk that way. but to me, it is a direct violation, and everybody who sees this resolution should damn well know it.
I don't know if Frank's on, but I would assume that's a very friendly amendment.
This is
Resolution 1 was submitted by Patricia and Frank. So.
Yeah, or Tricia if she's on.
I hear Tricia.
Hi, you guys. Yes, I do consider that a friendly amendment, and I absolutely okay. love your advocacy. Thank you.
I Great. Do, and for the record, you can assume that whatever Trish okay. regards as friendly is the same for me.
Thank you to you both, and we will put that in right after the one where it talks about the issue itself.
And Mitch, could you restate what kind of what you thought that where, or I guess the
Mitch,
where
I'll state it, and then if you think it's wrong, you can correct me. Whereas merging blind counselor caseload with...
I'd say merging generalist caseloads with blind, put generalist first, Jeff.
Okay. With blind counselor's caseload is a direct violation of SB 105.
Okay, so merging generalist caseloads...
Into...
Okay.
Into the blind counselor caseload.
The blind counselor caseload.
Is a direct violation of SB 105.
A direct violation, violation of SB 105?
Uh-huh.
And where would that one, because I just wrote it at the bottom for right now, but where would we insert it?
Excuse me, Gabriel.
Yes.
Instead of into, I'd say you're merging with. You're merging
okay, so you
the general case.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I think you had originally said with, and Jeff was
restarting.
Yeah,
I think I changed
too,
it.
So.
I'm fine. Yeah. Gabe, we can talk afterward as to
okay.
exactly where it'll go.
Yeah, I've got it written down. I just, like I said, I wrote it down at the bottom of the document, and Jeff and I'll figure out this afternoon or in the next day or so where to insert it.
Okay, now how many hands do we have, and where do they? We had Lisa.
Lisa never spoke, but Lisa.
Okay.
Lisa, go ahead.
Lisa, do you want to tell us whether you're going to be for or against?
Well, I am for, but I had a point of discussion about the database. I'm not sure that it's completely accurate, that it's not relatively accessible. I was a counselor for 5 years, and now I'm an AGPA, and a lot of what I do is aware training. And I did find the database very accessible. I'm not doing an amendment yet, but I just... You know, it may you know just to so the resolution is strong.
I know many counselors didn't though, Lisa.
I know, but it's okay. Well, you know, if that's the way you want to do it, that's cool.
I mean, you can propose an amendment. It's certainly your right to.
I know, but if people are more comfortable without, I find it basically like a middle difficulty website. Less difficult than like a Bank of America website or something. It's like a website. It is tedious. I wouldn't disagree with the tedium, but I don't know.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good point.
Lisa?
Any other hands?
Actually, this is Gabe with a question for Lisa.
Yes.
Would you be more comfortable if instead of saying, and I can't find it right here, I'm trying to find exactly what we said, but would you be more comfortable if it said something instead of that it's inaccessible, saying difficult to use?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, because I do think there are many folks who find Aware difficult to use, but right.
Trisha, are you? Trisha has to accept that as a friendly amendment.
I am willing to accept that as a friendly amendment. Yeah.
Okay. Hang on, Dan. Hang on. We're going to recognize hands.
I'm just trying to figure out exactly where that was that we even said database first.
All right. Are you ready, Jeff? Are you?
No.
Let's see. Yeah, it says is not readily accessible and tedious. So I guess with the amendment, instead of saying not readily accessible, change that to is not easy to use. And would we still keep tedious? I guess would be my question.
Yeah, I guess we would. I don't think.
It's So would we just instead of is not easy to use and is tedious. And Frank and Trish, are you guys okay with that?
They said they were.
Okay.
So let's go other hands.
All right, Patricia, you had your hand raised.
That's great. I'm already on. So yes.
Okay.
All right. We already did that. Okay.
All right. Bob.
Oh my. Okay. Real quick. Yes, I'm for it. But I asked the director in a question that Frank read about the generalist. I didn't mention 105. We should have. Do we do that business? And she is no. So I'm just telling you, but I like all the references to SB 105 and so forth. Great resolution. Thank you.
Well, that's what they're doing. She said they were doing it. You asked a different question, Bob.
Oh, I did. Okay.
You did. You did. And she said, no, they weren't doing it. I forget what you asked, but your question
I brought
different.
November 14th up when the BAC got it, and she said, no.
They're definitely doing. In fact, she said it in the
I'm
meeting.
Out of here.
Okay.
All right, Dan,
go ahead.
Okay. In this database, they're doing, I'm sure, job placement outcomes in that database. Is that right? Job success outcomes.
Yes, it does keep track of the job success outcomes, and it helps to prepare so you can set up the plans to reach, and you do all your services. They call them activity dues, and you're always submitting them to make sure that people get their braille lessons or their cooking lessons and all. And, so yes, this database is very important to making sure there are successful outcomes.
Do you trust in the job outcome, listing, successful employment rates, that the internal Department of Rehab is conducting at this point?
I'm not questioning that.
Okay.
I do think what they're seeing, they said it at the back meeting, they get about 300 to 400 per year. It's the same all the time, over time. That was, stated by a person who is the regional manager that was retiring, actually. He retired. But that was one of his sad statements that he said in the end. And I feel sad that we've only gotten the same outcomes over time. Same things over and over.
Thank you.
All right, Margie.
Thank you. I would like some clarification, please. Going back to the issue of difficult to use, inaccessible, is DOR providing adequate training to its blind, low vision, deafblind employees to use that database?
I don't know. Currently, you can always ask for it. For training, if that's what you would like, you just ask the supervisor. And I haven't worked there since 2020. Yeah.
I know that, Trish. So I guess I'll just be quiet. If it's an issue, counselors need to ask for the training versus complaining. And I don't want us going on record looking stupid because we're writing a resolution about accessibility or usability when it's a lack of counselors asking for training. Thank you.
Any other hands?
Vivian?
Okay. This is just information. So I am a former door employee. I work both in the Jones caseload for a while and then also the blindness caseload for a while. And there's a marked difference between the two. It takes away at putting generalists in there for employee to do takes away from the blind caseload in terms of what's required in order to provide adequate service. So that's just my comment, and experience wise, I just wanted to throw that in.
Thank you, Vivian.
All right, Dirk.
Aesthetic punctilio in the resolve clauses, it's always said DOR. At least one of the resolve clauses should say Department of Rehabilitation.
Dirk, we have that earlier in the resolution, so it technically does not need to, but thank you for your input, though.
All right, Ed.
As a past rehab counselor by really short time, the training is available. It's not that the counselor is having difficulty. It's the software. For instance, I was using Zoom text and having problems with Zoom text working with the speech. So Trisha's amendment or resolution is correct, because there's various complications. You can't identify just one issue, one problem. It's not training. It's not the software. It's just the glitches that the system has. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Any more hands?
Lisa.
Remember, we have seven more resolutions to get through.
Are we debating here? Or are we still
talking about it? It's kind of a lot of this is in clarification, but thank you, Gabe.
Some of these comments are getting very close to debate. So,
okay. Would you like me to not speak? I was going to clarify that I'm a totally blind person. So my experience is that the software is, vast majority accessible are from the perspective only of a totally blind person. I've never tried to navigate Aware as a, which is the name of the database, as a, I'm not low vision. So I don't know.
So,
I
can't speak to that. So Lisa, we already took your amendment. Yep. So,
sorry.
We're not going to worry
about it. That's okay. Thanks for the clarification. But like I said, I think at this point, we're still trying to find out who's for and against. If anybody has a clarification
question. I have not heard any against.
Mr. President, I move the previous question.
Thank you. The question has been moved. Is there anyone who is opposed to the resolution? If so, raise your hands.
No hands.
Okay, the resolution is adopted. Why don't we switch back and forth, Gabe, and I'll let you take the debate for resolution number two.
Okay, give me just a second here. Saving that file so we can make sure we have the amendment captured and don't have to necessarily wait for the audio. Okay, and who's it that's playing these?
I'm playing them.
You're playing them. Okay, I believe that was Larry.
You're welcome.
Oh, remember, this resolution indicates us, we didn't know who submitted it, but it was submitted by Ed Crespin, what you're going to hear.
Right. Yeah, because I think on this one, on resolution number two, it does. It says submitted by unknown at the end. And thank you, Jeff, for that clarification. So, all right, Larry, go ahead and play resolution number two for us.
Resolution 2025-2, Reasonable Accommodations for State Employees, submitted by unknown. Whereas Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, Americans with Disability Act of 1990, ADA, as well as California state civil rights laws, require all state agencies to provide reasonable accommodation to employees with disabilities. And whereas, an employer shall respond expeditiously to a request for reasonable accommodation and provide the entire interactive process to determine the appropriate accommodation. And whereas, unnecessary delays can result in a violation of federal and state law and can adversely impact the ability of the person with a disability to perform their job. And whereas, Governor Pete Wilson designated the Department of Rehabilitation, DOR, to serve as the lead agency for implementation of the ADA. And whereas, the DOR has established an ADA implementation unit that is available for technical assistance, consultation, training, and education for other state agencies and individuals requesting reasonable accommodations. And whereas, DOR has created guidelines through its Office of Civil Rights, February 1997, the Supervisor's Role, June 1998, and a Memorandum, Reasonable Accommodation Policy and Procedure, February 1997. And whereas, the State Personnel Board adopted guidelines through its Affirmative Action and Merit Oversight Division, May 1992. And whereas, despite these actions, over the years, state agencies, including DOR, have frequently not completed action on reasonable accommodations requests in a timely manner, causing undue hardship to the person with a disability that can include failure to satisfactorily perform their job. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind, in convention assembled virtually this fourth day of May, that this organization calls upon DOR as the lead agency for implementation of the ADA to establish an updated process and timeline for completion of action on reasonable accommodation requests by state employees with disabilities and those offered state employment, and be it further resolved that this process shall require that the person requesting reasonable accommodation be notified in an accessible format of their choice regarding the timeline for action on their accommodation request. End of resolution.
Okay, and the resolutions committee recommends a do pass. So I'll also move it. And let's go ahead and move on. Are there any questions? Let's do questions, clarification questions before we go to any debate. So are there any clarification questions? And actually, Ed, if you wanted to be available to help clarify anything. But first, do we have any clarification questions? Please raise your hands. Any hands up, Sheila?
No, sir.
Okay.
Okay. Just to clarify, I wrote this almost a year and 2 months ago, completely forgot that it was still there. But the issue basically is that the Department of Rehab hasn't made any changes through the recommendations of them being a lead agency for many, many years. And other state agencies aren't getting good guidance. And basically, this resolution saying, hey, Rehab, look at what you have here and make adjustments and put it out to other state agencies. So people with disabilities, and I'm not only talking about blind people or visually impaired people, I'm talking about all other disabilities needing reasonable accommodation. That's what this amendment's for as well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ed. Ed, we apologize for the confusion, but Ed, thank you for this resolution. Even if it was a year and 2 months ago and you forgot. All right. So now let's go to debate. Is there anybody who wishes to debate either for or against? Let's go ahead and raise your hand and find out if there's any debate. And if everybody's for, then we'll probably just skip the debate and move to voting. So
no
anybody
hands.
Wish to debate? No hands. All right. Hearing that there's no hands, let's move to voting. So only if you are opposed to resolution 2025 number 2 as read to us. Is that Adam that's doing the reading? As read to us, then please raise your hands. Again, only if you are opposed.
No hands.
No hands. All right. In that case, I will declare this resolution passed. And before I pass it to Jeff, I just want to comment. Feels like we're back to the old days here of 10 or 15 years ago, doesn't it, Trish, where we used to have like 2, 3, 5 DOR resolutions. I think our first 2 resolutions have been on DOR. So, all right. And with that editorial comment, I will pass it back to Jeff for number 3.
And now we're going to make it 3 resolutions on DOR. So Whenever you're ready.
Like I said, doesn't it feel like the old days?
Play it again.
Resolution 2025-3, Transportation for Department of Rehabilitation Consumers, submitted by Ed Crespin. Whereas, the Department of Rehabilitation, DOR, offers funds for transportation related to a consumer's vocation goal under California Code of Regulations, California Code Regulations, Title 9, Section 7161, Transportation Services General. And whereas reimbursement for monthly transportation costs may include funds for attending a job club, job search, job interviews, job vocational training, career college training, and other related vocational needs. And whereas the mode of transportation provided shall be the least costly mode which meets the needs of the individual. And whereas allowable modes of transportation include, but are not limited to, public and private transit entities, transportation available through family and community resources, and client-owned vehicles. And whereas most DOR consumers are on fixed income or have no income, and the cost of living for rent, housing expenses, and transportation is difficult to meet. And whereas, in order to receive funding for transportation, DOR consumers must provide receipts through a stringent documentation system. And whereas, when a consumer is seeking transportation reimbursements not exceeding $150 per month, they often use single rides for which receipts meeting DOR requirements are difficult, if not impossible, to obtain. And whereas, it is frequently difficult or even impossible to obtain a receipt for a one-time ride due to the manner in which a transit provider operates, or by virtue of the fact that it is not feasible to obtain receipts from family members, friends, or job clubs, now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind, in convention assembled virtually this fourth day of May, 2025, that this organization calls upon DOR to repeal the receipt requirement for transportation reimbursement not to exceed $150 per month. End of resolution.
Okay, the committee recommends a do pass, and I so move. I wanted to add, before we go for questions, that Nellie Emerson was also one of the submitters of this resolution. So with that, if you have any questions, raise your hand and Sheila will recognize you.
Mitch?
Ed, I have a question. Is this a requirement, and maybe I missed it, is this a requirement, though, of the Department of Finance that that such receipts need to be submitted, in which case let's make sure that when this resolution gets sent forward, that the Department of Finance receives a copy. But from my back days, Department of Finance wanted to see every receipt known to man or woman.
So let me address that, and I'll let Ed address it too. The only reason I would say it might not be is that it's in the DOR regulations. Now, that doesn't mean Finance might not require it, and we probably should research that. At face value,
because this may be something the Department of Finance told the Department of Rehab to put in your regulations.
Yeah.
Or would Jeff, would it hurt anything if we just simply added a final resolve that this copy of this resolution needs to be sent to the Department of Finance?
Well, I don't think. Let's see what the department indicates, and if we need to, we can definitely take it to the Department of Finance. Mitch's comment is well taken.
Yeah. General Services does overlook the Department of Rehab, including Finance, but in the past, many years in the past, we were given funding for transportation without having to submit receipts.
Okay, thank you, Ed.
Yeah, I think questions? The research should be done, Mr. Tom.
I'm sorry, say that again, Mitch.
I think we ought to research that, because I suspect that the Department of Finance has its mitts in this too.
Absolutely. We will definitely do that research. And if it needs to go to Finance, then it shall be done.
All right. Connie Bateman.
Could someone please reread the whereas clause and explain it to me, because I don't understand it.
Which whereas clause?
The last one.
The resolve clause?
That's what I mean. That's resolved. I'm kind of tired.
Clause. Yeah, no problem. The last resolved clause?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me... I jumped to the top. I think I was trying to find a where.
I think I have it here. Would you like me to read it?
Yeah, if you have the one that says the California Council, blah, blah, blah. Go ahead.
Okay.
No, I think there's only the one resolved, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's only one.
That's just one resolved. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry.
And Steve.
Okay. Therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind and convention assembled virtually this 4th day of May 2025, that this organization calls upon DOR to repeal the receipt requirement for transportation reimbursement not to exceed $150 per month.
That last part confuses me. What does that mean, not to exceed 100? If you're repealing the receipt requirement, then what does that last clause have?
I think it basically means, Connie, that if your expenses are less than $150 a month, that you would not have to submit receipts. But if it's over that amount, then you'd still be subject to the receipt portion or receipt requirement from DOR. Is that correct, Ed?
Yes, that's correct.
At least on the intent.
The consumer could request, in this case, up to $150 for transportation. They could use that transportation money for a family member, access, fixed route bus, or whatever mode of transportation, that they don't have to submit any receipts unless it exceeds $150.
Oh, then it should have been stated that way. Then I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. That clarifies it.
All right, Sheila.
It's been many years since I've been a rehab client that needed receipts, but I don't mind doing receipts,
Sheila, are you debating or are you asking a question?
I'm asking a question if you'd let me get to it.
Okay, then just ask your question.
We're
not debating yet.
I'm not asking for debate. Can we say something like allow the receipts to be done in such a way that the person can actually do them? I've heard of counselors having to deal with pictures of pieces of paper and things. Could we just send them electronically in ways that we don't have to go insane to do it?
Well, Sheila, the issue here is, if you have a family member drive you and you pay for their gas, there's no receipt. If you get on an access van for one-time trip and you pay cash, there's no receipt.
I'm just wondering if there's a way to get the receipts in an easier way that...
Well, that's not the point.
The issue on this resolution isn't dealing with difficulty turning in receipts. The issue in this resolution is dealing more with what Ed was talking about, that cases where there are no receipts.
Now, you could ask for transportation for just access and say, look, give me $60 for access, and you could buy it and then submit the $60 receipt to DOR. But there's many consumers who don't just use access. They use multiple ways of getting to and from.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so... getting receipts.
But I could have a thing for my bank that showed that I bought so much gas, or it would just show that.
Sheila, you either have to propose an amendment or you're getting over into the debate.
All right, fine. I propose an amendment, and I'm not quite sure how to phrase it, but I propose an amendment that there be a like a one off.
Would this be something resolved that you're proposing this? Okay.
Yes. Resolve that the CCB asked DOR to amend receipt requirements so that showing a gas receipt from your bank or your or the receipt itself on thus and such a day when you know that you were going to go to school that day proves that you paid for it. People can write it better. I'm fine if they do, but that's what I'm thinking.
Okay, so
is it essentially the same? Is it clarification?
No, we don't have a second yet. So Sheila, are you
proposing basically that we ask Dior to accept bank account records as a receipt?
Yes.
Is that what you're trying to get? Okay.
Bank account records or records that don't particularly say, I went to school with this, but, you know, I never buy gas for anybody unless they're driving me somewhere. So
clarification. But clarification.
Okay, we have a point of clarification.
Charlene, if I'm correct, this resolution is to not require receipts of any kind for up to a dollar amount because of the variety of ways people sometimes need to pay for their transportation. Therefore, no receipt of any sort would be required for that dollar amount. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Yes.
As long as that transportation does not exceed
$150 a month.
So in that case, what Sheila is requesting, bank receipts, whatever, would not be required because they would be under that dollar amount. That's all.
So Sheila's proposing we basically get rid of the current resolve clause that you just explained, Charlene, and substitute her own. There is no second to this amendment yet. Hearing none, the amendment dies for lack of a second.
Margie.
I was just lowering my hand. I was going to speak against that motion.
Okay, so now, are there any more questions on the resolution?
Lisa?
Yes, it's been a couple of years since I was a counselor, but when I was a generalist counselor, when transportation funds were provided up front, and it was usually the rate of public transportation, the receipts weren't required. However, if somebody was going to pay for the cost up front and then get reimbursed, a receipt was required for everything. Is this talking about both situations or reimbursement?
Can I address that, Lisa? Because I'm still fresh. If you're asking for a reimbursement, yes, you do need a receipt.
Yes, of course.
But this is not for reimbursement.
Okay, so you're talking specifically about the reimbursement when it's being paid for up front. Because, you know, a lot of the time, and I don't know if this is just counselor, but we didn't require receipts when the transportation costs were provided up front. We were providing
that's required now.
I haven't seen that in policy, but that's too bad.
Yeah.
Even when it's not just a reimbursement. Okay. Ooh, okay.
Any other questions?
Dirk?
Dirk, with an amendment that we have a COLA provision, the cost of living. Now we have $5 a gallon gas, but then a few years we're going to have $10 a gallon gas. And at that time we should have a $300 allowance anyway. My amendment is that for the $150, there should be increases over time according to CPI or the cost of fuel.
Okay, so it's subject to a cost of living adjustment, essentially, we'll put in there as an amendment. Is there a second to Dirk's amendment? Essentially, it's amending the resolve clause to say $150 per month, subject to an annual cost of living adjustment.
Christy,
okay. I guess she beat you, Christy.
Yeah, she did.
So, we now have to vote on the amendment.
Unless
it's submitted as friendly. Thank you, Gabe. I almost forgot. So do you, Ed, do you accept that as a friendly amendment?
If it's just cost of living. So this, that means the 150 could go up to maybe 175 a year from now. Am I correct? Right.
Well, it probably wouldn't go that high a year from now. But the way it's going now, who knows?
Yeah, right.
Well, so that would be a friendly amendment.
Yes.
Okay. So we're just simply tacking on at the end of the, and after the $150 per month at the end, we're going to say subject to
an cost, annual cost of living.
Subject to an annual cost of living adjustment. Boom, it's in there. Cool.
Okay. So,
thank you, Dirk.
Do we have any more questions now on the resolution as amended? Hearing none. Do we have anybody that wants to debate the resolution?
Steve.
No hands, Sheila?
Nope. Steve has his hand up.
Okay.
Steve.
Thank you. I'm going to be a spoil sport, and I have a... And folks in the resolution committee tried to get me otherwise, but I find the, there's a lot of problems with rehab that we need to address with resolutions and whatever, but I don't know that requiring receipts, that's done by everybody. I mean, everybody has to file receipts. Some of the whereas clause, really, I don't get. I mean, the last one in particular, it's frequently difficult or even impossible to obtain a receipt for a one-time ride due to the manner in which a transit provider operates. I don't even know what that means. I mean, I can pay with a ride with a credit card. I can pay with it, by buying coupons in advance, whatever. I just think that there are bigger issues with rehab than requiring receipts. And I think by asking for this, we're kind of making ourselves look petty. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. We've had one opposition. Do we have anyone who wants to speak in favor?
Christy.
So I can tell you, as someone who has had to deal with this kind of pickiness from working with the state of California, that it is not easy to get a receipt. It is not easy to get a receipt for someone who's giving you a ride. It is not easy to get a receipt when you're paying with your tickets, because you get a one-time. For instance, I may buy 10 tickets, but I only used 5.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have an opposition?
Margie?
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'm in opposition, so I need to understand something, please. This resolution is asking for no receipt if it's under $150?
Correct. Per month. Total, that's all you'd get is that $150 or $149, I guess.
$49.99.
Yeah,
right.
Per month. So I have another question. How did we come up with that amount?
I came up with that amount because when I was a rehab counselor, we worked it out in our unit that I can provide transportation for $120 without it going to supervisor approval.
Got it.
And the problem with that, again, is that transportation is pretty expensive nowadays, especially if you're using Uber and Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are using that. And this 150 would make it so much easier if people had that freedom to just get from point A to point B without having to deal with a receipt or being threatened because they're not going to get it next month because they didn't submit the receipt.
Okay, then I speak in favor of this resolution. My goodness.
Okay, actually, Margie, I'm looking for an against because the last speaker was in favor. So,
all right.
Hang in there.
Yep. So, Dan.
Okay. For one thing, Uber and Lyft do provide receipts via email. And I agree with Steve. I'm totally opposed to it because I think, as Ed said, he had a discretionary fund up to 120. I'm not sure if you did a poll of RCBs, if they all have that discretionary fund, but I just think it's getting nitpicky, and I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. Margie, since you were going to speak in favor.
I'm a little bit confused. I'm very sorry, but I am a client of the Department of Labor. And if I take a bus, I don't pay a receipt. If I take paratransit, I don't have to submit a receipt. I just complete my form. If I take Uber, Lyft, taxi, I have to submit a receipt. So I'm a little bothered about the amount is all I'm going to say. Thank you.
All right. You do have another hand, Jeff. Area code 916 ending in 307.
Okay. That's Gene. Are you in favor or against?
And honestly, I'm a little confused if Marge is speaking for or against it. Then.
Well, I know, but it was a little of both.
I'm in support because it's been several years, but I remember my students on my caseload having the issue of not being able to provide receipts when it came to riding paratransit if you paid cash. And yes, I know nowadays, like even Sacramento, you can do it with a credit card, but there's still people that pay $5 cash and don't have credit cards. And there are, and if you ride public transportation, a bus, the bus fare, you can't get a receipt for that for a single ride. So I'm in full support of this, just to abolish all receipts under $150, and I support the cost of living in factor too. Thank you,
Mr. Okay. Chair. Can I ask a favor?
Sure.
Just to in the interest of making
of time
a little bit more effective here. When you're asked if you're in favor or for, can you just give us your position? You'll have your chance to make your point during the debate.
Thank you, Mr. President. Okay. Right,
you have one more hand.
Okay. Are you in favor or against?
Sheila?
Simple answer.
I'm against.
Okay. Go ahead.
So the reason I'm against is that most things can get receipts. For things that we can't get receipts, like a bus fare or paying someone's gas when they give you a ride, then you can, like when you give them the gas, you can show the thing on the credit card, and you usually don't do gas except when you're getting rides, so you know that. And we know that bus fares are X for a person with a disability, and so we can figure some of that stuff out. If you're going to school 3 days a week, you do the math, and that's that. And most people, if they're requiring receipts for buses, then in the Bay Area, there's a thing called a Clipper card, so I could look up that activity and show it. I think they have that in different areas. If someone doesn't have that, they can just keep the bus pass from that day and write school on it, and that would be the receipt. People do
30 seconds.
Figure this stuff out. No, I'm done.
Okay. Thank you, Sheila. Okay.
Can I address that?
Yes. Very quickly.
Credit card statements are not a receipt. Handing in your bus pass at the end of the month is not a receipt, according to DOR.
Okay. Thank you.
And Jeff, I didn't start a timer, but I think we're probably getting close to our 20 minutes of debate.
Yeah. We're going to stop. I didn't hear any more hands, so we're stopping. In the interest of time this time, although it's not our normal procedure, I think we're going to skip the opposed. We know there's a number of opposed. So let's take a regular Zoom vote, and all those in favor of the resolution, raise your hands. And don't lower them until Sheila tells you. Well, don't lower them at all, but until Sheila tells you, keep them up.
And I'll probably just have Sheila lower all hands.
Lower all boats.
But are you lowering hands or raising hands?
No, you're raising hands right now.
Okay.
If you're in favor of the resolution.
That's right.
And then just keep him up, and we'll have Sheila as the host do the lowering of all hands once she's got a count. Is that right, Sheila? Sorry, she's probably coming.
They're still coming up.
Yeah. But you'll lower all hands once we're standing, correct?
And if people will stay muted, yep. Your hand will stay up. Give me 1 second. I'm trying to find the lower all hands, so just be patient. 1 second. All right, you're going to have to wait because Zoom takes a few minutes for the hands to go down.
And
I will let you know when they're all down.
To Steve or whoever, or Guillermo, have Resolution 4 queued up so that we can go instantaneously as soon as we finish the negative votes, that is.
That would be Larry on deck.
Larry, sorry about that.
Yeah. None of the above.
All right, all hands are down.
All right, all those opposed to the resolution, raise your hands.
And I know that people like to leave right after resolutions, but I'm going to ask you all to please stick around. We got door prizes and we got some final thoughts here, so.
What? You mean resolutions isn't the end-all, be-all of this meeting?
In fact, if the body is willing, resolution number 5 is about volunteers, and we intend to send a copy to every volunteer. If the body is willing, and I don't hear objections strenuously, we're not going to read that one. No one's ever voted against it in my many, many years.
It'll
save us
a
little time.
No, there's no debating on volunteers and the work that they've done. So,
okay. Are you ready for the count?
Yes, we are.
26-4, 7 against.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And we're ready for number 4. And Gabe, you'll be the handling this one.
Okay. So let's move on. Larry, let's play resolution number 4.
Resolution 2025-4. Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility. Submitted by Jeff Tom. Whereas the California Council of the Blind, CCB, has embraced the values underlying Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility, DEIA. And whereas DEIA not only impacts issues of specific concern to people who are blind or have low vision, but also affects concerns that intersect with other underserved populations. And whereas the doctrine of DEIA often enables CCB to forge coalitions that enhance our ability to achieve results on issues about which we advocate. And whereas an outstanding example of such coalition building came with the passage of AB 1902, enacted 2024, establishing drug labeling accessibility requirements for those with print disabilities, during which we received support from a large number of healthcare, disability advocacy, and civil rights organizations. And whereas the current presidential administration has attacked the doctrine of DEIA, taking such measures as the following: terminating federal employees working in areas that are in any fashion connected to DEIA, canceling compliance contracts with Section 508 of the Rehabilitation Act, demanding that federal contractors and grantees remove and terminate DEIA policies, repealing guidance on the obligations of businesses under the Americans with Disabilities Act, and proposing dramatic reductions in programs essential to the ability of blind and low-vision Californians to live independent and productive lives. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind, in convention assembled virtually this 4th day of May, 2025, that this organization continue to uphold its support for the doctrine of DEIA and to advocate for programs of importance to Californians with vision loss. End of resolution.
Okay, the resolutions committee recommend to do pass. I will so move. At this point, let's go to any questions on the resolution. So if you have a question, raise your hand, and we'll have Sheila call on you.
Donna?
And we're not debating.
No. I'm not debating.
Okay.
I would like to ask for an accommodation for those of us with brain injury. We need to keep our policy the same. I think it adds to confusion when, you know, you have been voting, having us vote throughout the convention today, that those who are opposed, you really need to keep it the same to help us out and not get more confused than we are just by Zoom. So
we'll do the best to our
please vote. Go back to doing it the way yes. that we have.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I think that, yeah, I was going to say, I suspect the reason we did it is because we had several people speaking in opposition. And according to the bylaws, or according to the standing rules, if we have 10 people who vote against, then we have to move to a full vote anyway. And I think Jeff felt like there were enough people speaking against that we would do that. So I think that's why he just moved straight to that. But we will keep that in mind. Thank you, Donna. All right. I think
it's a reasonable accommodation request.
Yep. Nope, you're right. We'll stick with that from now on.
Robert went.
Go ahead, Robert. Is this a question on the resolution?
Yeah, it is a question as opposed to opposition or anything.
Okay.
Given the current administration's response to DEI and the fact that we're involved with the IRS trying to get our 501c3 back, I'm a little concerned, particularly since they're using AI to do a lot of things. You know, this stuff's going to be on the website. We already have IDC on the website. And I'm just wondering if this could be problematic and if it's something we could maybe delay for a year or something while we're working on the other issue.
So I had
that exact same question before it ever even went to the committee discussions, Robert, but I'll let Jeff address that issue.
Sure. So this kind of gets to debate if I answer your question, but I will, because it's it's a question that I have too. On the one hand, though, I feel that it is extremely important to come out on these issues. Can I say there isn't a possibility that, you know, they'll look at our website and they'll decide to pull our nonprofit status? I haven't heard those things happening yet to small nonprofits. Does it mean that they couldn't? I don't know. It's very possible they could. So I can't say this wouldn't be an issue, but I just felt it was too important not to, somewhat remote and too important not to take a position. That's really the best answer I can give you on that, Robert.
Okay, your next hand is Regina.
All right, Regina, go ahead. It's your question. And remember, this is not debate. Sorry.
I just wanted to say that IDC did present that they're in favor of it. We voted by the board, and that wasn't included in the resolution. I wanted it to be added.
That it was IDC was in favor or supporting of it too?
Supporting of it, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, before it goes up, we'll make sure that that gets added on. Thank you.
All right, Connie.
So we'll see, submitted by Jeff, Tom, and IDC.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yep.
Can someone read the resolve clause again? I didn't catch it all.
I've got it right here. Bear with me. Resolve that by the California Council of the Blind and Convention assembled this fourth day of, or virtually this fourth day of May 2025. That this organization continue to uphold its support for the doctrine of DEIA and to advocate for the programs of importance to Californians with vision loss.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's all your hands.
All right. Now we will move to debate. So if you want to vote either for or against, raise your hand. And please, when Sheila calls on you, just state if you're voting for or against. I think I'd like to see how many people we have for and against before we actually move to that debate. So anybody who wishes to speak either for or against at this point, go right ahead and raise your hand and we'll make note of which way you're speaking before we move to actual speaking. So who do we have up?
Rob Turner.
Rob, are you speaking for?
For.
Okay.
Margie.
Against.
Margie, are you for? Against. Okay. And I'm making notes, so once we have a few of these, we'll come back and I'll call you guys in order. Right?
Sheila.
Right.
For.
Sheila's for. Okay. Do we have anybody
Bob Acosta.
Else?
Bob.
For.
You're for?
Yep.
Okay.
David?
For.
And we may not have everybody speak for because I believe our standing rules say that if we don't have an even number.
Let's see. I'm looking.
David was our last hand.
951. Ending in 342. Please unmute. For.
Nancy Unger, for.
You're for? Okay. So far, I only have one against, so we're not going to have much debate here. So, and that was Nancy that was for?
Yes.
I'm going to withdraw my against.
Okay.
We can move on.
All right. Do you want to keep taking hands or no?
Let's see if we have anybody else against before we totally have Marjorie withdraw. If we have anybody else that speaks against, we'll have a couple of debates. But if everybody else is for, then...
Donna? Well,
I wish to speak against, please.
Okay, Donna's against. So let me move back up here. So right now I have Rob for, Margie's against. I have Sheila is for, and I'm going to insert Donna against. All right. Do I have anybody else that is wishing to speak against
it? I think this is Roger Peterson, 650, ending in 155.
I think so. Is that Roger?
Four twice.
You're four twice. Okay. Well, you're at the end of the four list here, so all right.
That's all.
Okay, so what we're going to do, because we want to keep it, we're going to have Rob speak for. Margie, if you still want to speak against, we'll go to you. Then we'll have Sheila speak for, Donna speak against. And then since that at that point would be even, I'm going to cut it off after Donna speaks, unless anybody else comes up wanting to speak in, against it. Okay. And what do we have? 2 minutes for speaking. So, Rob, when you're ready.
I'd say let's be bold. Let's be strong. Let's put this out there. I don't want to be suppressed before they even get started.
Okay. Thank you for that brief statement. Give me a second. Okay. And so, Rob, Margie, you're up.
I rise to speak against this motion only because I am very concerned about our administration in Washington, D.C., and I don't want to see us take any risk of losing our 501c3 once we get it back. I think it's a great resolution. I think the timing is not great. Thank you.
Thank you, Margie. Sheila, you're next.
Sometimes you got to stand up, and sometimes that's risky, and sometimes you've got to do it anyway, because as a person who's been blind all my life and actually has multiple disabilities, I feel like I fight to survive every day. I fight to thrive and live and grow and help and flourish every day. And I think that we need this resolution for ourselves and brothers and sisters with whom we've allied over the years and decades. And I emphatically am in favor of it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Sheila. And our final speaker before we go to voting is going to be Donna.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone present today. I rise to speak against this resolution from a business perspective. I rise to speak against this resolution because the California Council of the Blind is already on record publicly of having its 501c3 in suspension. We need to be wise, and we need to think globally. Yes, many members are very concerned about the actions that are taking place right now on a global level. And other members have stated publicly that they are on the opposite side. From a business perspective, it is prudent of us as a 501c3, where the membership here assembled today has the ability to make a sound business decision, and at this time not vote this resolution into being, even though that's what this organization is already doing in support. We need to consult. We've already heard from one organization today, the Department of Rehabilitation, at this convention, that they are working on choosing their wording. I urge you to not support this resolution today and have those that work with the Department of Rehab. I understand APH is also looking at changing wording, and there are probably other organizations that we work with as well that do that. Please stand with me from a business perspective and not support this resolution given the current climate, and use wisdom. Thank you.
Perfect timing there, Donna. 2 minutes right on. Okay. Hearing no further speakers in opposition. And we've had two for and two against, so it's been an even debate. I will move to voting. So
you have two hands, and I'm not sure why they raised their hands already.
Let's go ahead and see if anybody is wanting, if there's any further questions or people who are wanting to speak against.
Andy, go ahead.
I want to speak against.
You want to speak against? Okay. In that case, I can insert you. Here, give me just 1 second. If I can delete the right spot.
Don't we need a four, though, first?
Well, I've got plenty of fours. So I've got Bob would be next in line for four. So we'll put Andy.
Should I go ahead?
Hold on a second, Andy. Go ahead. I'm going to come to Bob first, and I'll come to you. And we have one more hand first also. All right. Who's our other hand, Sheila? I've got you listed here, Andy, so I will definitely come to you when it's your turn in line.
Dirk.
Are you speaking for or would you wish to speak for or against this?
For no submission to tyranny.
You're speaking for it?
Yes.
Okay. We've got several others speaking for that would be ahead of you here, so I will put you here down, though.
No other hand.
Okay. All right. So that being given that, we'll move to having Bob speak for and then Andy speak against. You've got 2 minutes, Bob, when you're ready.
I have 2 minutes.
You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a time to take a stand. I'm in several groups that are fighting this administration. In Riverside, on July 26th, we're having a day honoring the anniversary of ADA. Yes, we're afraid of what's going to happen to our elders. My wife is dependent on Medicare and such. And if we fall back, if we say, oh, let's stay out of the way. Some guys in Germany did that too. They said, let's just clear the deck. It won't find us. Well, we're out there. The California Council of the Blind is famous for taking on causes. Stand with me and vote for this fine resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. And now we have an opposition. We have Andy. You're ready, and go ahead and unmute yourself, and I'll start the timer whenever you start speaking.
My father always had an expression, cutting off your nose to spite your face. I think that's what this resolution does. It doesn't advocate for any specific action. It makes it puts us on record making a policy statement that is of concern at this time, especially with our state of affairs. And the CCB has a reputation for what it does. And we have an inclusive diversity affiliate and whatnot, and the CCB has a 90-year reputation for what it does. I just don't think that we need this this at this time.
All right, thank you, Andy.
You do have another hand, Gabe.
Okay, here's our other hand.
Deborah Armstrong.
I'm just doing a quick check here on how many people we've had each way. Go ahead, Debbie.
I would like to speak in favor.
Okay. Okay, I'm looking for anybody who wants to speak against.
In the queue after Bob.
You're right. I am so sorry, Debbie. You're in the queue after Bob to speak for.
Yeah.
Yes, but I'm trying to keep things even. And Andy is my last person I've had against. So if I get one more person that speaks for or wants to speak against it, then you would be next on the for list. But so far we're at an evenly for and against. So unless I get anybody else wishing to speak against, we're going to move to.
No, no hands.
No hands?
Nope.
Okay. And I'm just double checking. I've had one against.
But let's see. Okay, let's see. Charlene?
I'm against.
All right, Charlene is against. All right. Let me... Okay. Let me double check my count. I think I've had four and four, but let me check. I've got...
Yeah, I think David's next.
And one, two and two. Three. Yes, this is going to make four and four. So, okay. So we've got David, you are next up in line. So I will start the 2 minute timer when you are ready.
Okay, very quickly. I urge this organization not to capitulate to this administration. I think it's very dangerous. I will just say that I belong to another minority that some of whom are thinking of seeking asylum in other countries because we are being used as scapegoats by this administration. And I feel that it is essential that we stand up and vote for diversity, inclusion, and equity and accessibility, because that's what we stand for as an organization. Thank you.
Thank you, David. And Charlene, you are up next.
As much as I believe everybody should be accepted, everybody has rights, unfortunately, I also believe that the current administration leading with Trump is vindictive. He's proven it in the past, and I don't want to open a door for him to be vindictive to the CCB. And I think if we pass this, it very well could affect our 501c3. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Charlene. Okay, canceling the timer. And one final call. Is there anybody else in opposition? So only if you're in opposition at this, or only if you want to wish to speak in opposition of this resolution at this point, please raise your hand.
No hand.
Any hand up? Okay. So hearing no more hands at this time, I'm going to end debate. And we're going to move to voting on this resolution. And as per our earlier request, we will be consistent. And so at this point, only if you wish to vote in opposition. So at this point, we are now voting. So only if you wish to vote in opposition of this resolution, raise your hand.
Okay. What do you want?
Do we have a count?
12.
12 people. Okay. So this time we're voting to, or going to a full vote as per our standing rules. So at this point, I will ask anyone in favor of the resolution, raise your hand.
Point of order, please.
Actually, first, hold on. Sorry. Before we do that, Sheila, do we have all hands down?
Well, yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You moved on without asking. I would have told you whether they weren't or weren't.
Yeah, no. I'm new to this whole like conducting elections things on Zoom, guys. Sorry.
No, you're not. I know better. I know better.
For the day.
You've been outed.
All right. No, it's not good.
Well, I've never done it this month.
Point of order, please.
Go ahead. Was that
this
Margie?
This vote takes a simple majority to pass or to fail, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
So, okay.
Pick on the new president, will you?
So, all in favor, or if you're in favor of voting, if you're voting in favor of this resolution, raise your hands.
Please do not lower your hand if you're going to raise it.
Yep. So keep right. Raise your hand if you're voting in favor.
Please do not lower your hand if you've got it up.
If you're voting in favor, raise your hand and keep your hand up because Sheila is trying to get a count for us. So raise your hand and leave it up until we say or have Sheila do otherwise.
To Larry, I would say let's get number 6 ready for your recording.
I was about to check just in case because it's been a day or two since we talked about that last.
Jeff, I was going to say, just because I'm going to abstain from number 7, how about if I do 6 and you do 7? We should have... Because by skipping 5, you were doing the odd numbers, and so I was fine with it. But then we skipped 5, and...
I've got the count for the 4.
Go ahead. Okay, who's the...
And all the hands are down. Well, they were all down.
Yeah.
Well, so you're doing 6?
I'll do 6, and then you can do 7, and we'll figure out 8 when we get to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's good.
Or you can do 6 and 7, whichever way.
No, you do 6 because I have to propose an amendment anyway.
On 6?
On 6, yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Sheila, what's our count on the 4s?
Don't you want to do the against
first? Yeah, we have to do the against first.
Okay. All right. So, again, I guess we're back to if you are voting against it, please raise your hand.
You see how it takes 2 of us to equal out what Guillermo could do on his own?
Right. Sorry, I was kind of assuming that if people had voted against, they were still voting against. I was assuming that our against vote from earlier stood. I guess I was wrong. So, all right. So again, if you're voting, and you said all hands were down, right, Sheila?
Yes, sir.
Didn't
yes,
we
sir.
Vote against already?
Yes, but the vote is done over once the first vote is just a threshold to have a full regular vote.
Yeah. So
again, if you're voting,
I'm going on mute, so my hand is staying up.
Okay. So if you're voting against,
I hear a point of something.
When I was voting for, I didn't touch it, and my hand didn't raise up. I guess so.
Well, then I will add. Okay. I will add you to the four.
Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Regina. So, if you're voting against this resolution, keep yourself on mute and press your button or your command on your device. Or buttons, I guess, if you're on dialing in.
Well, I believe we're done. It's 27 for 14 against.
27 for 14 against.
27 for, yep. Yes, sir.
Yep, and 14 against. By my count, 27 is greater than 14, so I declare this resolution as passed. Let me...
Now, I'm glad that I'm not the... I'm glad. I don't feel bad that two people can't do what I do.
Yeah. Well, you know, Guillermo, we are new to this, so you know.
Yeah. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see.
We're on number six, which is from Frank Welty.
Frank has already given us his commentary on it, so. Larry, when you're ready, play us resolution number 2025, number six.
Resolution 2025-6, CCB support for unionization of blindness service agencies. Submitted by Frank Welty. Whereas freedom of assembly and the other civil liberties enshrined in the U.S. Constitution are foundational principles of modern democratic nations. And whereas the right of workers to organize is derived from our constitutional right to assemble and guaranteed by federal and state laws. And whereas, for more than a century and a half, organized labor has played a critical role in improving wages and working conditions for millions of Americans, building a prosperous middle class. And whereas, in the absence of organized labor, workplaces in all sectors of the economy, businesses, government institutions, and nonprofit organizations often tend to exploit their employees. And whereas agencies serving people who are blind, deafblind, and low vision are just as prone to labor exploitation as other organizations. And whereas employees at many blindness service agencies lack the legal protections and economic benefits afforded to unionized workers. And whereas on November 15, 2023, the employees of the San Francisco Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired held a successful election to organize themselves into a union, Lighthouse United, affiliated with OPEIU Local 29 AFL-CIO, now therefore be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled virtually this fourth day of May 2025, that this organization congratulates the employees of the Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired for their history-making unionization campaign, and be it further resolved, that this organization stands in solidarity with the unionization efforts of employees of all blindness service agencies, and be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be submitted to the American Council of the Blind for consideration at its 2025 annual convention. End of resolution.
Okay. And the resolutions committee recommended it you pass, so I so move. Are there any questions about the resolution? Yes.
I want to propose an amendment.
Sorry. It's denied. Go ahead.
Thank you. And I'll make this 30 seconds, and I apologize for having to do this, but I think it's important. And this is not a friendly amendment because Frank would definitely not want it to accept it. I would like to move that we delete the final resolved clause, which would send this to ACB for action at its convention. I'll need a second before I can speak on it.
Yep, this is a motion that does require a second. So Jeff has moved that we remove Jeff has moved that we remove the final clause, sending it to ACB. Do we have a second on that motion?
Mitch Pomerantz seconds. He was muted.
Wow, Mitch, your voice has changed.
Doesn't sound like you.
Yeah. Well, Mitch, your voice has changed. Anyway, okay. So we have a motion and a second.
So I'll be very quick. I just don't think
we've got you noted there, Mitch. Go ahead, Jeff.
So I am totally in favor of unionization. I applaud the Lighthouse for what they did. And I am for this resolution. But I would not like to see ACB potentially go on record as opposing unionization. I think at this time it would be imprudent to seek a resolution on this matter from ACB. And I have, told Frank my viewpoint, and that's where I stand. So that is why I'm proposing this amendment.
And Frank, and we know that Frank opposes this because he opposed it in committee. So, okay. Anybody wish to speak against this
clarification?
Go ahead. Is that Dan?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Is there any reason why the committee didn't want to send a copy to the union itself?
I don't think that ever came up. It was more just standing in solidarity with.
It'd be good if they knew that we were, backing them.
Yeah. Well, we can definitely do that. I don't know that it needs to be in the resolution, but Frank and I are both members of that union, so one of us will make sure they get it.
All right, okay. Ed has his hand raised.
Go ahead, Ed. Are you speaking against this proposed amendment?
I'm in favor of it, but I wanted to see if we could clarify the union that Frank is mentioning. It's like I belong to the AFSC. I mean, what does that mean? So.
Gabe, this is not in order. You have to talk on the amendment.
Yep. This is only on the amendment. So we'll come back to you for that question once we come back to the actual resolution.
I have a question.
Is that Charlene?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Gabe,
is the question related to Jeff's amendment?
Yes. That amendment is accepted, because there's lighthouses throughout the United States, would that deter them from needing to accept unions?
No,
well, we don't.
All this would do is it would not have us send it to ACB for their consideration for their national conventions. But it still stands that CCB would stand in solidarity with any other blindness organization that wants to unionize.
All right, Mitch, did you still wish to speak?
I do want to speak. I have some information I think people will need to hear, but not on this amendment.
Okay. And we'll come back to you again, Mitch.
Earl,
are you speaking?
This is not about the
amendment. Are you speaking to the amendment or sending it to ACB?
No, I'm speaking on the whole resolution.
Okay. We'll come back to you in a minute. We are only debating or questioning the amendment of sending this to ACB. That we have an amendment on the floor to remove the final clause that would send this to ACB. So that is the only thing we are speaking on right now. Is there anybody else wishing to speak? Yeah, we'll come back to you though, Earl. Don't worry. Is there anybody wishing to speak on removing the clause, the amendment that would remove the clause to send this to ACB? And I almost feel like I should take myself out of this whole thing because I'm involved on several different levels now.
I do, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Acosta.
Oh, I'm in trouble now. Okay. I oppose the amendment, absolutely. Okay. Because of the first, it's California. We're progressive anyway. We're always ahead of a lot of people. But more importantly, you don't know what the people, that's what the leadership's afraid of. The people very well listening, the voters, the ACB, I think will favor unionization where we can, and favor helping our vendors if they want to unionize and so forth. Some of the leaders are afraid that we don't want to go on record that way, but so some of these take time. Some of these take 5 years, but you keep plugging. So I'm opposed to the amendment. Bring it on.
Okay. All right, Sheila.
And just to remind people, when you're being asked to speak for or against, just please say for or against. We're not taking editorial comments.
Sheila?
Thank you, Guillermo. Sheila, are you speaking for or against the amendment of removing the clause to send it to the ACB for their consideration?
I'm for it.
You're for it. Okay. Do we have anybody else that wishes to speak against it? We've had one for and I think one against. I can't remember at this point.
Regina.
Is there anybody that wishes to speak against? Actually, I think the only ones we've really had are for the amendment.
No.
So did we have one against it?
Bob was against
it. Yeah, we had Bob against it. That's right. Okay. We have Sheila said she's for it. Is there anybody else wishing to speak against this amendment?
Regina Marie.
And Regina, are you for or against?
Actually, I just wanted to sort of raise a point of order that going forward, nothing retroactive, but going forward, if when you are asked to do for or against and you start speaking, you would forfeit your time. So that way we can just say for or against.
I think that would probably be a bit of a violation of our standing rules at this point. Okay. But
well,
we will do better at trying to clarify people's position before we let them start speaking.
Yeah, I'm really imploring that people stick to for and against.
Yep.
I have a hard stop at one.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'd like to get off here too. Okay. So we have one more for. Is there anybody wishing to speak against the amendment that would send this to ACB? Dirk, are you speaking for or against the amendment to send it to ACB?
Against.
You're against it.
Let it be part of our resolution. Well,
nope. Dirk, all we're asking at this point is a one-word answer. Are you for or against? So we're
against. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I have Sheila for and then Dirk against. So at this point, Sheila, go ahead and give your go ahead and start your argument, and I will start the timer as soon as you start speaking.
I'm actually torn about this, but the reason I chose to say that I was for it is if we think, I'll be honest, I haven't been following ACB's tactics lately about things like this. But if we think that ACB would be different and say that they don't want to be a part of this unionizing thing, that is not something we want to actuate. And I'm not usually cautious in this way, but unions are, people are sort of not sure about unions sometimes. And if it's going to hurt the cause of the folks that are trying to unionize to cause this to go before ACB, what I could do is there might be a way to amend the amendment that says, could we somehow take the ACB's temperature before we get there? And bring it to them or something. I don't know how that would work. And I don't want to make things more crazy than they are, but that's my thought.
Okay. Thank you. And Dirk, you're wishing to speak against, so I will recommend you, and I'll start your 2-minute timer when you're ready to start speaking.
Thank you. I reject the amendment because it indicates that ACB cannot responsibly respond to our proposition. I think we should be standing on the roof shouting yes or no to our resolutions that we pass. We should not hide them from anybody, and certainly we should give them maximum exposure throughout the disability community, including our ACB. If ACB doesn't like it, because there are surely a lot of of blind people and right to work states. Well, that let them deal with it. But let us say our point, and our point is we are proud of the unionization efforts at the Lighthouse. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, Dirk.
I think we need to call the question because we're really running late.
We are. Okay. So let's call the question. And this is not on the full resolution. This is just on the proposed amendment to remove the final clause. If you are opposed to that amendment, raise your hand. And Sheila will let us know when we're settled.
Waiting for hands to settle.
Okay.
Read. No.
Okay. Jeff? I'm going to lower all hands.
All right. What was our count there, Sheila?
13.
Okay. So that means we're moving to a full vote. And all hands are lowered now?
Yes.
Okay. So now, if you are in favor of this motion to remove that clause, please raise your hand. So again, if you are in favor of the motion, raise your hand.
Is this the whole thing now?
No, this is just on the amendment to remove. We had more than 10 people raise their hand in opposition, so we're having a full vote on the amendment to remove that clause from the resolution. So at this point, if you are in favor of removing the clause to send it to ACB, please raise your hand.
Point of order.
Yes, Margie.
I am thoroughly confused.
Yeah.
Bob, please mute. I'm not clear what we're voting on. Are we voting in favor of Jeff's amendment or against it?
No.
You'll vote. So we voted. We did the way that we did of having people raise their hands if they're in opposition. We had more than 10 people, which means that we now move to a full hand-raising vote on that amendment. So now you're raising your hand only if you are in favor of that amendment to remove the clause sending it to ACB.
We did that.
No.
Thank you.
We had people raise their hands if they're in opposition. We had more than 10 people raise their hands in opposition to the amendment, which means that according to our standing rules, we move to a full vote. So now we're doing that full vote on the amendment, which means that now I'm asking people. And again, as Sheila said, we need to ask people to stay muted if you raise your hand. But raise your hand only if you are in favor of the proposed amendment to remove that final resolve clause from the resolution. So we're not voting on the full resolution. We're just voting on the clause that would remove, or we're just voting on the amendment that would remove that final clause. So,
all right, I have a count.
Okay, so it's lower hands.
Hands are lowered.
Okay, and now raise your hand only if you are opposed to the clause or to the amendment. Raise your hand only if you are opposed to the amendment removing that final clause. So I know we called for it a minute ago, but No, we're doing the full vote. So now only if you are opposed to the proposed amendment, removing that clause, raise your hand.
Mr. President, unless there's strong objection, I would urge we limit discussion by any member to 1 minute. We are really late.
Yep. Most of them have been within that 1 minute. Yeah. Because I've been it's a lot quicker for me to do a 1 minute timer. So yeah. Okay. How are we doing, Sheila? Are we
all getting right.
Yes, I would agree. So all comments need to be 1 minute. And please pay attention when you're being asked for or against. Just limit it, please. Thank you.
All right. My count was 25 for and 18 against.
All right. So the fours have it. We will remove that final clause. And this will not be sent to ACB.
Now we need to know.
All right. So now we're asking for people to speak either for or against the entire resolution. And when you raise your hand and you're called on, that's the only information that I am looking for is
one word.
Yes, either I either want for or against. That's all I'm asking for you to say. So,
all right, Mitch.
I will speak briefly in favor, but I also want to provide some information that may or may not affect people's vote.
You did state that, yes.
Yep, you did. I've got your name here, Mitch, so you will be first in line.
Bob and, Acosta.
We may come to you. Okay, Bob, are you for or against the resolution?
I'm for, but I have to leave. I'm sorry. Goodbye. Thank you. Bless you.
Okay. All right. Looking for speakers either for or against?
Earl.
You're up. Are you for or against the resolution, Earl? Are you wishing to speak for or against it?
Earl, you're still muted. Earl. Okay, 916 ending in 335.
This is Earl. I'm against.
Earl is against. Okay.
For resolution.
And who is that?
Larry.
Okay. You're the 916 number. Okay. Larry is, and you said you're for, correct, Larry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chris Gray.
Chris, are you for or against?
For.
For. Okay.
Nancy.
This is for Nancy. Are you for or against?
I'm for. I was a union member with Amtrak. Okay, I'm for.
That's all I wanted is for or against. We only have one against so far.
Dirk.
Anybody? Okay, Dirk.
Point of inquiry: to whom is this resolution being presented, if not to a blind organization?
It's basically a con that we stand on in favor of all blindness organizations unionizing. So it's not really being sent to anybody. It's just being, it's just saying that we stand in solidarity with anyone.
Okay, well, we're
if
waiting
anybody
our
asked for
time.
It, we would give our support.
So I'm voting against.
Okay.
Wasting time.
Do you want to speak against, or you just vote? Are you just telling us how you're voting? You wish to speak against it?
Yes.
Okay. I'll put you in line for against. So I have Mitch for, I have Earl against, then we have Larry for, and I will put Dirk against. And I have, let's see, one, two. All right, so I've got two more fours. Do I have anybody wishing to speak against the resolution?
You have no other hands.
No other hands. Okay. So at this point, I apologize to Chris and Nancy, but I've got two and two. I've got Mitch for I've got Earl against, I've got Larry speaking for, and I've got Dirk speaking against.
And we're not going to take any other hands because we need to move on after this is done. So.
Yep. So these are the people we're speaking for. And since we are at almost 1 o'clock or close to it, we're just going to limit to 1 minute each. Mitch, you are up.
Good thing I can talk fast. This will not affect my vote in favor, but I think it should be pointed out that the Lighthouse just announced major layoffs. Whether that has to do with the vote a year and a half ago or not, I don't know. But they are laying off a significant number of their employees. The organized blind movement, and I go back to 1972, has supported unionization at that time of workshops for the blind. I generally think that private organizations should unionize, don't support public employees unionizing. I thankfully was not a union member in my 34 years working for the city of L.A., but I think for the private sector, it's generally a good thing, and I support this resolution.
Thank you, Mitch. Earl. You are up to speak against the resolution.
Yes, I just think that we are a blindness organization, and I think we should stay out of any labor advocacy in one direction or the other. I'm done.
Short and sweet. I like it. Thank you, sir. Let me get my camera canceled. Okay. That was Earl. Larry, you are up next. Go ahead, sir, when you're ready.
I am all for unions, especially in these very difficult times we're in. Without unions, we wouldn't even exist today. In fact, most labor and work organizations wouldn't exist. And in this time where our rights as citizens are being threatened big time, we need all the support, and I think unionization is a good way to go. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, and Dirk. You have 1 minute, and I'll start when you're ready.
First, full disclosure, I was a chop steward and a labor organizer for the Teamsters Union. I'm pro-union, but I am pro-making a difference with our resolution, and we have no person to whom we are giving this resolution, so we are just patting ourselves on the back. I think we should have... If we cannot tell ACB, let us tell NFB, or let us tell the different councils of the blind that we like. Anyway, we should tell someone, and let's tell everybody on our mailing list that we are proudly pro-union. That's what affirming something that has no purpose.
All right. Thank you, sir. Okay. We've had speakers for and against. So now let's move to our voting. At this time, all of those opposed to this resolution. Actually, let me double check with Sheila first. Sheila, are all our hands down?
Yes, sir.
All right. So this time, anyone opposed to this resolution, please raise your hands. So only if you are voting in opposition of this resolution, raise your hands.
Okay.
Okay. What's our count?
Three.
Three.
All right. Okay. It
that does fast. Not that does not meet our threshold for a full vote. So this resolution passes. Thank you, everybody. And at this time, I am going to mute myself and not make any comments, unless it's an editorial thing, if there's any amendments. But I am not going to participate in any other way of this next resolution, and I pass it over to Jeff.
Okay, so resolution 7, if it's queued up, play it.
Resolution 2025-7, Administration of the Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired, whereas since 1902. The Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired, Lighthouse, based in San Francisco, California, has provided critical services for people who are blind, deaf, blind, or who have low vision, and whereas, in spite of its long track record as a highly respected provider of services to the blind, deaf, blind, and low vision communities, the receipt, approximately a decade ago, a bequest of more than $125 million, and the acquisition of additional assets, through the sale of the former Lighthouse building at 214 Van Ness Avenue in San Francisco, the Lighthouse has FA Resolution 2025-7 Administration of the Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired, whereas since 1902. The Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired, Lighthouse, based in San Francisco, California, has provided critical services for people who are blind, deaf, blind, or who have low vision, and whereas, in spite of its long track record as a highly respected provider of services to the blind, deaf-blind, and low-vision communities, the receipt, approximately a decade ago, a bequest of more than $125 million, and the acquisition of additional assets through the sale of the former Lighthouse building at 214 Van Ness Avenue in San Francisco, the Lighthouse has fallen into a pattern of large budget deficits which, if not reversed, could lead to the depletion of its financial reserves and its closure in a few short years. And whereas, even though the Lighthouse's interim chief executive officer stated during a town hall meeting held on April 24, 2025, that the root cause of the organization's current precarious financial position is insufficient revenues, in response to this crisis, the Lighthouse Board of Directors and Senior Management Team has instituted a series of deeply concerning cost-cutting measures, including program reductions and mass layoffs. And whereas these layoffs involve plans to replace certified rehabilitation professionals trained in the blindness field with occupational therapists who lack the specific skills for the teaching of individuals who are blind, deaf, blind, or low vision. And whereas the rationale for replacing these certified professionals with occupational therapists is to obtain reimbursement through insurance providers, in complete disregard of the negative impact on the quality of services for the consumers being served. And whereas, in the past decade, Lighthouse employees have indicated the work environment is characterized by low morale, high staff turnover, numerous credible reports of management engaging in vindictive disciplinary actions and abusive behavior, resulting in successful and expensive legal claims against the Lighthouse. And whereas, in the past decade, the Lighthouse has invested in the purchase of an expensive office building in downtown San Francisco and a second manufacturing facility in Alameda, opened offices in Eureka and AT&T on the Ed Roberts campus in Berkeley, acquired the assets of the Earl Baum Center in Santa Rosa, and renovated the Enchanted Hills Camp near Napa, all of which have resulted in the depletion of a large portion of its financial reserves. And whereas, since 2016, the former chief operating officer, who is now the interim chief executive officer, has been intimately involved in, and has often been the driving force behind, the destructive decisions and actions of the Lighthouse senior management team, now therefore be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind, in convention assembled virtually this fourth day of May, 2025, that this organization calls on the Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired to reverse its policy of self-destructive and reckless cost-cutting and layoffs and shift its financial recovery efforts to fully funding and appropriately staffing its blind rehabilitation and community service programs. And be it further resolved that this organization calls upon the Lighthouse Board of Directors to begin the process of revitalizing the organization by immediately commencing the search for a new executive director, who shall a qualified person who is blind, deaf-blind, or low vision. And be it further resolved that the Lighthouse Board of Directors immediately remove and replace the interim chief executive officer. And be it further resolved that the council calls on the Lighthouse Board of Directors to strengthen its oversight of the Lighthouse. And be it further resolved that, should the Lighthouse Board of Directors elect not to proactively and immediately address the concerns expressed in this resolution, the council president shall work with concerned CCB members to find ways of more broadly publicizing the problems outlined in the foregoing to the community served by the Lighthouse, and be it further resolved that copies of this resolution shall be sent to each member of the Lighthouse Board of Directors.
So the resolution was submitted by Margie Donovan, and we're now ready for hands for questions only. I won't want statements. I just want questions.
Margie,
you're the submitter, so we're not ready for you yet. But stay unmuted because if there are questions.
What is the committee's recommendation?
Oh, I apologize. The committee recommends a do pass, and I so move.
Jeff, I would like to make a statement to go on record.
Okay, but it will happen when you begin debate.
Thank you,
Sheila.
So stay there.
I just wanted to point out that I heard a few minor.
Do you have a question?
Yes. Can we correct the minor?
Yeah, we will correct it. I heard it too. We'll correct.
Okay.
There's a bit
that's all.
Missing. Thank you.
That's all. They're not substantive. They're just.
No.
Yeah.
I get it.
Okay.
And for a second.
Dan Kaiser.
Hang on.
Connie.
We're raising it of hands, and Sheila recognized Connie first, so
that was
Dan and Dirk, you're later.
That was a lot of information. I need to hear the resolve clauses again, and can someone just summarize what they mean, because that was really lengthy.
I'm going to let Margie summarize them, because
oh my goodness.
We are very short on time, so... Margie, why don't you take a shot at that?
I'm not sure I can, but I'll do my best. One
and
of the
I will
clauses,
help.
Thank you, is to send a copy of this resolution to the board. One of the clauses is to remove the interim CEO who's at the helm of all of these problems. It doesn't say that, but I'm adding at the helm of all these problems. And
one is to start immediately the search for a new CEO.
And that's all I remember, Jeff.
And one is to make their oversight better of the leadership of the Lighthouse.
By the board.
So there was a part about cutting, I mean, basically I'm paraphrasing, like stopping the drastic, you know, their cost-cutting measures, whatever. And then it said something about services.
Yeah, well, that one was basically to, instead of constantly cutting services, they ought to concentrate on raising revenue and maintaining services.
Oh, I got it.
Essentially.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Roger.
When I heard the resolved, it seemed like sending it to the board of the Lighthouse was...
Right, is this a question, like, Roger?
That was only... Well, I'm trying to find out what's there. I would think that the board part should be at the beginning rather than the end.
All the resolutions are directed to the board, or the resolve clauses, I should say.
To the board of the Lighthouse?
The board of the Lighthouse.
Okay. It sounds
Except
like
for
it
the very last one, which says what we ought to do if they don't do anything.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that it says we should only send it to the Lighthouse board if they don't do anything. I think
No. We're sending it to them anyway. But if they don't do anything, we would work with our members to determine ways of more broadly publicizing it. So we would put more pressure on the Lighthouse, essentially, if they don't do anything.
All right, Nancy.
Okay, I'm confused. It sounds to me like the union. Is it true that the union was ineffective, didn't keep management in line and keep overseeing? I don't know if these people pay union dues or what. It doesn't sound like the union was very effective. Thank you.
Okay, Margie, do you want to address that issue?
I really can't address that issue because I don't know. Some union people were laid off. There's another round of layoffs in July. And I really can't address that. And I'm going to state this for the record. Our two members who are Lighthouse employees, Frank Welty and Gabe Griffith, are not commenting, participating in any way in this resolution as it would be a conflict of interest. But what I know is for the next round, the interim executive director has said he's working with the unions.
Okay, well, something. Thank you, Margie.
All right, David Jackson.
Jay.
Margie, is there a time limit for the to get rid of the interim CEO?
Immediately.
Well, when you say
I'm sorry. Jeff, can you refer to that part in did it say immediately?
I believe it did.
Yeah. What we want is immediately because you may know as well that he's at the helm of many of these problems. I'll give one example. He spent over $250,000 fighting the union.
I believe the feeling is there are people they could promote to work in the chief operating or as chief executive officer as acting CEO for the time it takes to conduct the search.
That's what I'm after. Thank you very much.
And previously, they did have another staff member step into that position between Brian and Sharon G.
Any more questions?
You have no other hands.
Okay, so now we are prepared for debate. When you raise your hand, when you are recognized, you would just say for or against, and we'll see what we've got.
No hands. Oh, okay. Nancy.
I'm sorry. Did you sit there, Nancy?
Nancy just raised her hand. Yeah.
Hi. I'm for the amendment. Thank you.
Okay. So if we have an against, we're going to have Margie is going to be talking, and then if we have an against, we can have you, Nancy. But so far, we do not have an against.
Dirk,
are you for or against?
Against.
Okay, so Nancy is going to be for, Dirk is going to be against. Do we have any other hands?
Larry.
I'm for.
Okay, so if we have another against, then Larry can speak.
Vita?
I have a concern, so I don't know if we'll be considered against.
I suppose we'll make you an against for the moment.
Thank you.
Dan?
Yeah, I'm against.
Okay, we would need another four.
This is Chris Gray. I'll speak four.
Okay. Do we have any more?
No.
Okay, so Margie, you go first.
Mr. Chairman, point of inquiry, I guess, is what I'm trying to raise here to you and to the president of CCB. We're sitting here. We now have a lengthy, protracted debate about to occur. We're not going to get out of here even with this debate before 1:40, 1:45. I know of three very worthy resolutions that also are in the queue to be brought up. I am deeply concerned.
We only have one more, Chris, after this.
I know, but my concern Motion. Is that we are severely behind time. People have not been cautious about speaking on everything. I would like to know if the president or the membership would entertain after this resolution is considered a motion to go into recess and to reconvene at a relatively decent time for everybody, maybe next Saturday, Sunday, I don't know, so we can take care of a lot of other business, which is still outstanding, because we basically have talked too long today.
Is that a motion, Chris?
It's a question.
It's a question for the president, so I will...
I'd like Guillermo to give us his thoughts. I mean, we're in a hard position now. So, no, I don't want to make a motion until we talk with the president.
Guillermo, you're... I am cognizant of people's time, so...
We do have one more resolution, and
if it meant
a roll call vote, then we would have to not have our volunteers necessarily.
So,
we have new, old and new business. With new business has at least three motions that I know of, and probably others. I'm just expressing the concern at this point.
Yeah. No.
Give me one second here. One moment.
Can I address this while Guillermo is thinking this over? Or should we just...
That's what, the resolution?
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Okay, great. Thank you. Mr. Chair, are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. The acting CEO has been the COO, Chief Operating Officer, over all the finances, over everything at the Lighthouse, except the CEO position. Basically, has wrongfully fired, caused lots of lawsuits, went over $22 million approximately on the renovation of Enchanted Hills Camp. While this was all going on, failed to negotiate. There's an article in the San Francisco newspaper. Failed to negotiate the first eight floors, the rent on it. Therefore, the main source of income during all this expenditure was our tenants. They moved out. And we are in a very serious financial crisis, and there's about to be another layoff. And I urge you to pass this resolution. We need to keep this Lighthouse around.
Okay. Who are you back to gear?
I am back.
You know, okay.
I propose, well, first of all, let me ask the election subcommittee chair, how feasible is it to get our volunteers back, I would say, the week of May 22nd? I'm proposing a Thursday meeting.
It's possible. I mean, I couldn't really say. I don't know. I don't know what Margie's group might do, and I really don't know about the group that we got through Regina. I really couldn't say one way or the other.
Okay.
And neither could I with my Thursday evening.
Yes, I don't want to take up people's weekend.
I hear you.
Okay. So I will propose
50-50 chance, because we only need to get four out of eight possible people. So it's possible. Okay. I mean, you know.
So I made a final proposal here, I just wanted to check with you to arrange that. So I propose in looking at my calendar that we meet on Thursday, May 22nd,
what do you want to say,
at 7:30.
Our volunteers were off at 12:30.
And Guillermo, to keep you in the right position here, I so move.
So, Mr. President, before Chris, you finish with that motion, I would urge that we do the final resolution, because it's on the library system and it's pretty time sensitive, obviously.
I think
obviously.
It's pretty time sensitive, and I think this would go quickly. So, yes, I would agree with that.
Okay. I'm happy with that. I so move. The date and time suggested by the president. What, May 22nd, did you say?
May 22nd at 7:30.
30 p.m. Okay. So move.
Second.
Okay. So I have a move in a second.
Mr. President.
Yes.
Mike, a reminder.
As much as I hate to do this, can I move that we say 7 p.m. instead of 7:30?
Yes.
gives us a little more time and doesn't
you're unmuted
till midnight.
Yeah, no, that's fine. 7 o'clock.
I'm good with seven. Sure.
You take that as a friendly amendment?
I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so
I'm sorry, Jeff. Go ahead.
We got to vote on this motion then.
Okay, so all opposed with this motion, all those in opposition.
Can you give me a chance to lower the hands that are up, please?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just give me a second. And if you're talking at 7 p.m., your time or Eastern time?
Eastern time. I'm sorry, no, my time, yes.
Yeah, okay, 7 p.m. Pacific time.
I will not be able to host.
Okay, well, that's fine.
I'm just being honest with you.
No, I understand.
You don't want to host till 2 a.m. You're talking to yourself.
No, so I think I love you guys, but not that much.
No.
We're talking on May 22nd.
Yes.
Well, the ironic thing is I'll actually be in the Pacific time zone, so streaming will not be an issue for me.
Can I just state the motion. And...
Okay. So we will, of course, go through the proper request for hosts and streamers. So we will go ahead and the motion on the floor is that we reconvene Thursday, May 22nd at 7 p.m. to take up this resolution. So
not this resolution,
motions? I thought it was to take up the everything after the resolutions.
Old and new business.
Oh, right. Okay. Thank you. Sorry. it's been a long day. So yes, we will meet to take up the old and new business.
Point of information.
Yes, Regina.
It's just that we will have to pay for new cards for the phone. There'll be some logistics that will have to happen, and there might be a little more money spent.
We can talk about that. That's fine.
Yeah, just so people know what they're voting on, and we will have to try to get the volunteers back at that time.
Okay. So all those in opposition of this motion, please signify by raising your hands.
Gabe, did you get the first speaker that was in favor of this resolution written down?
I wasn't in that position to do that.
Most of them, but I missed one.
All right, Sheila, how are we doing?
We only have eight.
Okay.
All right.
All right, so we will reconvene with old and new business May 22nd at 7 p.m.
Thank you, Mr. President.
And it'll be on the same Zoom link.
Okay, so there were a number of speakers, and I don't have them all written down. Nancy, were you against or in favor?
I was in favor of it, Jeff.
That's what I thought. You were the first one, so go ahead.
No, I think that the CEO should be held to task. I really think it's a bad situation with the lighthouse. I think I don't have much to say really. I just think that there's a lot of mismanagement, and the union wasn't. I don't know what the union was like. I just think it should be a pass. Thank you. I didn't, you know.
And we had Dan.
Point of order.
Yes.
Point of order.
Not everybody at the lighthouse is unionized. Thank you.
Thank you, Margie. Thank you, Margie. I didn't realize that.
All right, we have Dan and then Larry. So, Dan, you're next.
Okay, I keep getting muted and I'm having some difficulty with Zoom. But in all this, yes, I'm. Although I'm opposed to the resolution, I don't think that getting rid of the current temporary CEO is going to resolve their issues. You've already admitted in the resolution that basically they spent too much on the camp, they spent too much on the building, and so they're going to have to cut costs. I will exempt myself from thinking about, because I don't know, about the union interpreter situation, but I think – that in order to save the lighthouse, I think some staff would have to be cut. I've served on board of directors before. I served on Guide Dogs for the Blind board of directors.
15 seconds.
And, you know, I know how this works, and they just don't have money. I mean, I thought they would rent out the offices as apartments, but they said they tried doing that and they couldn't for some reason. I don't understand.
Okay, I believe
may
Larry.
May I address that or
no? No, okay. You may not.
Thank you. I'll go on mute.
Larry?
Yeah. My concern, and I'll admit right off the top, I don't know a lot about lighthouse function, but what does concern me is the way they're laying off people. I mean, there's one example, and we won't get into those, of somebody who's been employed for over 20 years at the Earl Baum Center, was given no notice whatsoever, was sent an email. To me, there's something wrong with that whole process. Very, very wrong. That's all I've got to say.
Thank you. Vita.
I'm going to withdraw.
Okay. Who is our final speaker in favor?
Chris,
that's right. You said you were withdrawing, right, Vita?
So if Vita withdraws, shall I not speak?
Yeah, I guess. No, because we have...
Oh. I'll make a comment.
Okay.
The thing is, it's not... That's why I was concerned. It's not necessarily again. I think in looking at this, we do really need to consider that we have CCB members that work at the lighthouse. The San Francisco chapter meets at the lighthouse. So I just ask you to take that into consideration.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Chris, and then we have one more speaker against.
Okay, so I think people are getting overly concerned about the idea of letting go this incompetent COO, CFO, current CEO, acting, whatever he is. Look, this guy has been mismanaging the lighthouse for years. He's responsible for wasting millions of dollars. What kind of CFO is that? We need him out of the way. And of course, that won't solve all the problems, but it will help us find a better person. We weren't even aware in San Francisco of this mess until a few months ago when the lighthouse tried to bust.
15 seconds.
And they weren't successful, thank God. But why did people unionize? Because they were being mistreated by the lighthouse. And I cannot, in good conscience, vote for that or condone it.
Now, our last speaker was it Dirk?
It was Dirk, yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm reluctant to condemn another blind organization. This has...
Well, we lost you, Dirk.
Oh, man. He's unmuted.
Okay. Even the lighthouse members do think that saying condemning words to another blind organization is not the way to go. We want to say we want better things for the blind community. We want some positive aspect of this resolution. And I don't hear it.
Okay, so we got some noise in the background. I apologize for that. Okay, we've had all of our speakers. We are ready to call the question. So... we will now see how many are in opposition. So if all the hands are lowered, Sheila?
Yes, sir.
Point of order, please.
Yes, point of order.
Are you calling for opposition to the resolution itself?
That's correct.
Thank you.
We're calling for opposition to the resolution itself. And if there is, if we get 10 or more, then we'll have a regular Zoom vote. So, opposition. All those in opposition, I'm going to mute so you don't have to hear the background.
Cheers. Okay, you have 6.
All right, the resolution is passed. We're now ready for our final resolution.
And Jeff, I have to step away for 1 second. Herbie is going to watch the hands for right now.
Okay, that's great.
I'll be right back.
Okay, so that let's see. Yes, we're on, that was number 7. We're now on resolution 8.
Resolution 2025-8. Funding support for the Braille Institute and the Braille and Talking Book Libraries, submitted by Robert Acosta. Whereas, in early January 2025, the head librarian of the state of California froze the annual grant of $500,000 for the Braille Institute Library, and whereas, the head librarian asked the governor of California to remove this grant from the annual state budget, which he did, and whereas, due to the elimination of federal funding for libraries under the Institutes for Museums and Library Services, IMLS severe cuts in funding, and services are expected for both the Braille Institute Library and the Braille and Talking Book Library in Sacramento, and whereas these funding reductions will adversely impact the availability of library services for all blind, deafblind, and low-vision Californians, including children and adults who have recently lost their vision, and whereas blind, deafblind, and low-vision children and adults, especially seniors living alone, will not be able to read for entertainment and to gather knowledge easily. And whereas the Braille Institute Library and Braille and Talking Book Library also serve a large population of people with other print disabilities, now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled virtually this 4th day of May, 2025, that this organization call upon the legislature and the governor to appropriate the amount of state funds necessary to backfill any federal funding reductions to both the Braille Institute and Braille and Talking Book Libraries, and be it further resolved that a letter of support be sent to the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the Assembly, the Governor, and both libraries. End of resolution.
Okay, you've heard the resolution. The Resolutions Committee recommends a do pass, and I so move. Are there any questions about this resolution? Oh, also, it was endorsed by Kahlua as well.
Yeah, and the Kahlua endorsement was a late-breaking one, so it did not make it into the recording. We apologize.
Any hands?
Dan Kaiser.
You have a question?
Yes, it's a question. Okay. Why aren't the sub-regional libraries mentioned?
Because we felt that it is probable that the sub-region library money is handled by the Braille and Talking Book Library, and that's why we didn't specifically mention them.
Got it.
Great question, though, Dan. It did come up in committee, so. Do you have any other hands up?
Gabe, I'll let you handle the rest of the debate because I'm having noise in the background.
Noise, so. You're having noise issues? Okay. Sounds good.
Dirk, second the motion.
Thank you, Dirk, but the motion was to do pass and it doesn't need a second. But thank you. So I guess is it Herbie watching hands? Do we have any other hands up for anyone having questions about the resolution?
All right, so
any hands there,
we have, actually I can look at the number here this way. So we do have a couple of hands raised.
Okay. Who's our first hand?
Our first hand is Megan.
Megan, hello.
Hey, sorry, it was an accident.
Okay. No problem.
Okay, then let's go on to Dan. Dan Kaiser.
Dan, is your hand still up, or do you have another question?
I think his hand may have still been up from the last
question. Yeah, I was going to say, because I know Dan had asked a question.
So, Dan, if you could confirm that for us, please.
Yeah, I wanted to just make sure.
Somehow my hand didn't go down.
Okay.
Cool. No problem.
Okay, how about Nicolette?
Nikki.
My question is, we're both the Library for the Blind, Talking Books, and the Braille Libraries defunded equally?
So, Nikki, here's how I'd answer that. We basically said that they're not funded equally for one reason, and that's because they serve a lot more folks down there than here. But basically what we said is that the state budget basically ensure that whatever federal funding cuts occurred were made up for by state money for both libraries.
Right. Yeah,
so whatever the level of cuts would have been, that the state fund those cuts.
Okay. Yeah, I understand that, but I need to explain this to a friend of mine who has no internet connection whatsoever. And so one of her questions was, were they both defunded equally?
No.
They probably weren't defunded equally.
Okay, well, see, that's my question. I'm trying to understand it. I'm in favor of the motion, by the way, absolutely. Yeah. So thank you so much.
So, Nikki, I'm guessing they weren't both defunded equally, just simply because they weren't both funded equally to begin with. But as Jeff said, we're just calling for them to both be funded to whatever extent that federal funds were removed, made up by the state.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hope that helps.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Herbie, any other hands?
I'm back. Go ahead, Herbie.
Or Sheila? Anybody?
There are other hands.
I don't know who he's taken, so.
Okay, all right, I'm hearable, correct?
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Okay, so the hands we currently have up left are Connie and then Sheila Gunn.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I went out of order, and I didn't mean
to. Sheila. So we'll go to Connie, then Sheila, and then we're going to move to debate.
I guess
it is more handsome.
Can I speak now?
Yep. Go ahead, Connie.
Okay. I'm taking notes. So I need to, how many resolve clauses were there?
I don't remember.
I need to hear them again. Or at least the last one. At least the last couple of resolve.
Basically, there's basically one resolve clause. And what it says in English is that the state is going to make whole both libraries in the budget from any cuts that would have been incurred due to the loss in federal money. So they would get just what they would have ordinarily gotten.
And there are technically two resolve clauses, and the second one is just telling us who we're going to send this resolution to.
Okay, so basically, in spite of the state funding cuts, we're asking them to maintain the funding for those two libraries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got it.
And I think the reason for the state grant being pulled is because the state knew that the federal money was already being pulled, and all that federal money goes to the Braille and Talking Book Library. So if they get this big, huge cut, and they don't cut the Braille Institute, then it's only BTBL that suffers. This way, both libraries suffer. We don't want either one to suffer.
Okay, got it.
Okay. And Sheila, I think you're next up.
Okay, so I feel stupid for asking this question, and people have tried to figure the answer out, but I don't know it. I mostly use Bard, and so I'm curious how Bard is funded, and even though it doesn't require staff for me to download something to Bard, somebody puts the things up there, and Is that in danger, and by
BARD,
what means?
I think BARD
is operated
the
by the Library of Congress, and yeah. It will not be affected per se.
And it's outside the scope of this resolution.
At least not yet.
Well,
at least
yeah.
not yet. That's
we
correct.
Don't know what's
I know
happening,
it's out
but
of
like
the scope at the yeah. moment, but I didn't right. know if later it might be.
We don't know that speculation at this point. Like I said, it's beyond the scope okay. of this resolution. This resolution is simply dealing with our California libraries.
Yeah. So. No, I'm for yep. this. I'm not. Okay. That's easy.
All right. Thank you. All right. I'm going to, at this point, move on to the debate portion, and I'm going to ask. Actually, I'm going to start off by asking, only if folks are opposed to this resolution or want to speak, only if you want to speak in opposition, because I'm sure there's plenty of folks willing to speak for it. But I just first want to see, is there anybody that wants to speak in opposition to this resolution? Please raise your hand and let us know. Do we have any? No hands? Okay. Seeing no hands and speaking against it, let's move to voting against it. So just to be sure, Sheila, are all our hands down?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If you wish to vote in opposition of this resolution, please raise your hands. We'll give it a few seconds here. If we don't have anyone, then we'll declare it passed. So any hands going up?
No, sir.
No hands? Okay. Nope. I'm going to say that Resolution 2025 number 8 passes. And I believe, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, our number 5 on volunteers was kind of passed by acclamation, correct? Jeff?
Are you there? Yes, Gabe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Guillermo. Okay. So, Mr. President, I want to thank everybody. I want to end up by thanking everyone on the resolutions committee. I should have written everyone down, but hopefully that someone will help me if I forget anyone. We had Regina Brink. We had Shayna Ray. We had Steve
Bauer. And Steve Mendelson.
And Steve Mendelson. We had Robert Wendt. Who am I forgetting, Jeff? Seems like I'm forgetting someone.
There is some.
David. We had David yes. Mandel. Thank you, David. I know I was forgetting someone. Gene Lozano.
Yep.
And
the entire resolutions committee.
Yes.
I think that's it.
And I think that's it. But thank you, everyone, for everyone's service. And thank you to everybody also who submitted resolutions, because that's definitely what makes this organization run and guides us over the next year till our next convention. And also just thank you to everybody who came to our meetings, participated, gave comments, questions, and helped to make these resolutions stronger. So thank you, everyone. And Mr. President, that thank concludes you. The resolutions report for this year.
Very fine job, you two. Thank you so much for all your hard work. So I'm going to dispense with some of the comments that I was going to make and just wait till the 22nd to make those. But we're not going to let you go out of here without a door prize. That is, if Lisa is awake and still
alive. We haven't put her to sleep yet.
Let's do the big one, Lisa.
Okay. I'm here.
And do we save
not
some for...
wait, but I'm here.
We will.
Do we save some for our meeting on that Thursday? Do we still have a couple in reserve?
We do. We're going to do one.
Yeah.
A disclaimer, I will not be at the 22nd meeting. My son is getting married on the 25th, and I will be out of town getting wedding stuff done. So I won't be in attendance on the 22nd.
So do you want to assign somebody to do that duty?
Or do we want to just give them all away now?
Don't be greedy, Gabe.
I'm just asking for logistical purposes.
I'm ready to give them all away now, but that's a president.
Let's give them all away now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
And save that other one for last.
Oh, the big one?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to do $25 Amazon card from Bayview chapter. That's the first one up. And that winner is Nellie Emerson. Congratulations, Nellie. Second one is $25 Target card. And that one is going to be from CCB. And that winner is Lisa Cushman. Congratulations, Lisa. Next one is going to be $25 Starbucks. Again, from CCB. And that winner is Constance Greshmer. I think I might have said that wrong. I'm sorry. Congratulations, Constance. Next up, we're going to do $25 Amazon card from Bayview Chapter. And winner is Nancy Pryor. Congratulations, Nancy. And next one is going to be $25 Target card from Contra Costa Chapter. Winner for that one is Mitch Pomerantz. Congratulations, Mitch.
Yay!
And our last $25 gift card for Starbucks is from Bayview Chapter.
You know, that sounds like a dead horse, Lisa.
No, it does not.
It does.
What was that?
It sounds kind of like a dead donkey or something like
that. How does a dead horse or donkey make any noise?
Exactly.
It kind of reminds me of like a 50s drive-in.
It does. Yeah.
And the winner of that one is Gene Lozano. Congratulations,
hey, Gene.
And then for the last one, which is a big one, is a $50 cash prize from President Guillermo. So I'm going to spin the wheel, give it a good shuffle a few times. All right, let's go.
Yeah, the original sound on Zoom doesn't do it any justice.
And the winner of $50 is Catherine Schmidt-Whittaker.
Oh, my goodness. She's going to be happy to, she'll be happy to come off her vacation and find out she won.
Yeah.
That's going to be great. That's awesome.
Gosh, thank you to all the chapters and all the, everybody who contributed to the door prizes. That's really cool.
Thank you, Chris. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Mr. President.
Yes, Margie.
I would like all of us that are still here to give a big hip, hip hooray to Guillermo for for a job well done.
Hip hip hooray.
I really
stepping in and stepping up on very short notice, Mr.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you did great.
I just want to say thank you for all of your kind words and your support during this week. I know things happen very quickly and it's extremely quick. Multitasking from convention and work was not easy.
Yeah.
And that's not, don't expect it to happen again because we're not work on usual at work. But I really want to thank all of you for your support. My doors are always open. Mm-hmm. I will say, well, there's going to be more said about how things are going to be handled from my point of view. But I do want us to know, to just keep in mind that if you want something positive to happen, you need to be about it positively.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So I hope that we can change the culture a little bit and just know that if something happens, we have a lot of trigger fingers in the organization. You know, back away a bit, think about what you're going to say and say it, but just remember that your tone means everything. Okay. So that's all I'm going to say for now. We are in recess until May 22nd at 7 o'clock.
Okay, you guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
7 o'clock,
you
said?
Thank you, everyone.
7 o'clock, yes.
Okay, 7 o'clock. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
And thank you, Herbie. Thank you, Sheila.
Hard work. Thank you, everybody.
And Remy just bit Mitch.
No, way to beat that.
All right, so, Mr. President, you ready for...